Well, good morning. You've had an interesting gospel reading for this day. How many of you really paid attention to it and liked what you heard? Right? Today, we are still in the Gospel of Matthew that's talking where we hear Jesus' words of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember a couple weeks ago, Sermon on the Mount starts out with those blessings, those beatitudes. And we talked about how God has promised that you are his people already because you've been blessed by all these wonderful things that God has given to you. You are already his people. That's what the Old Testament was actually talking about too. God is talking to his people. He pulled them out of Egypt. He pulled them out of death and false worship. He took them and made him his own through the waters of the Red Sea, by the side of Mount Sinai, where he gives them his word. This is how we live as my people. And now we have Jesus, as I said last week, being one of our, the one who loves us and endears us to himself. He comes into this world to show us his love and wonderful, great love that he has for us. And that's how we think of Jesus, as the God who comes to save us. He's the merciful and kind person. That's what we want to know about our Lord. That's why we come to church, to hear how great and wonderful his love is for you, how he forgives you of all your sins. And then he calls on us to go out into that world that we live in, and to share that love, reflect that love that he has for us. To tell the people of what great love he has by allowing himself to be nailed to the cross and bleed and die on our behalf. To suffer the pains of hell itself, the full wrath of God for you. And it's such a wonderful, loving gospel that we hear. But today, that's not much of a gospel. What is he saying to us? You would think that after Jesus has told us how wonderful we are as his people, all the wonderful things that he's done for us, you would now say, look how good you are, right? But that's not exactly what he's saying to us. In fact, last week you might remember when Jesus says, I don't want you to relax any of the laws. None of the laws that have been given to you should be lessened. They should all remain at the same level they always were. A good example of this might be my own little life story. I was in my 20s, and I was driving up to Rhinelander to see my old high school buddy. And as I'm heading there, I'm getting near to the end, Highway 8. I'm cruising down Highway 8 towards Rhinelander. And I look behind me, and I see a police car do one of these. And I'm going, oh, okay. And I'm still tooling along. And all of a sudden, the lights go on. And, okay, I had to be pulled over. This younger officer comes out. I think that's the only thing that saved me. He was a younger officer, and he came out, and he said, do you realize how fast you were going? And I looked up at him and I said sheepishly, no, I don't. I couldn't see the steering or the speedometer, the steering wheels there. I was slunched down kind of on my last leg of the journey. And he went, okay. He walks back, and you know what it's like waiting for the police officer. Minutes won't go by and I'm going, oh, here it comes. Well, he came up to me and he said, it's okay. Just be careful. And he let me go. He relaxed the law for me. I was so happy about that. I was great. I was wonderful. This is wonderful. Relax those laws. Make them easy for me. And then a few months later, I was driving through Sussex, not appreciating the scenery as much as the police officer thought I should. And he pulled me over. This time, he didn't relax the law. I got the ticket. Which one would you rather have? You want it relaxed? You want it to stay the same. Jesus says, no, it's got to stay the same. This is how you should live your life. You follow those laws right to the letter. Because if you don't, you're in trouble. We have to be perfect as the Lord your God is perfect. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus isn't about to relax the laws for us. In fact, as we read this gospel, if you want to say gospel today, he says, no, you've heard it said of old that you're not supposed to murder. You've heard it said you're not supposed to murder. And instead, what do I tell you? You're not even supposed to hate. You're not supposed to dislike someone. You're not supposed to say, you fool, because now you're liable to hellfire. Oh, man, he's just piled it all on more. And he says, you've heard it said you're not supposed to commit adultery. But I tell you, these are the words of Jesus. He's actually piling on more law. I tell you, if you look lustfully in your heart at a woman, you've already committed adultery. And I think that's half the population in this room right now. We're all in trouble. That's the problem with sin. It is so terrible. It is so killing and corrupting that Jesus says, it's better that you take your eye and rip it out than to go into hell with a full body. It's better that you cut off your hand if it's making you to sin than rather go into hell with a full body. That's how terrible sin is. And he's not talking to the sinners out there. He's talking to us, his own people. Jesus is doing something that we really don't want to hear. Sin is more pervasive, it's more cancerous, it's more embedded in us than we can ever even imagine. And Jesus, in a sense, is speaking like a doctor who comes up to you and tells you that the condition you have, it's not treatable. You can't do anything about it. It's going to kill you. The disease has taken over your body so thoroughly that you cannot do anything to cure it. Sin is so deeply rooted in us, in a sense, it even changes our DNA. It makes us evil, anti-God people. And we might even think this, well, you know, it's just my actions and my words. I can kind of control them. I can be really nice to that neighbor next door to me who I really hate. And I can be pleasant enough. And at work, I can maybe take my coworkers all right, and I know that in 8 hours I can leave them alone. I don't have to deal with them anymore today. I can do that. But Jesus is telling us sin is even worse because it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our thoughts. It's not just what we say and do that makes us a sinner. We are a sinner. And that's why we do and say and think the things we do. The diagnosis is more troublesome than we want to hear. Jesus is telling us that sin has penetrated right to our hearts. And that's something we just don't want to hear. We really are sinners. And there's no denying it, even though we want to try. The first sin came when Adam and Eve looked at that fruit. When Eve saw it was good for food and desire and a delight to her eye, she already sinned by wanting it. The heart was the lead. It wasn't her grabbing it and biting it. It was the heart that said, it's yours. Take it. It's good for you. In Genesis 6, we hear that the Lord is going to destroy all the earth. And why? Because every imagination of the hearts of men was evil. It was the heart that was the problem. We have become so corrupted that we've turned inside out. And instead of looking outwards, we now look inwards. And that's all we see, is what I want. Some of you might have heard this before, but there's a Bible class called Crossways. And the little icon that they use for showing sin is a stick person, arms crossed with an arrow coming out of his head and going right back to itself. that's the person you love most of all, me. My favorite friends are me, myself, and I. And that's who I'm going to worry about most. Jesus even tells us this in Matthew chapter 15. He was talking about the Pharisees who were telling him, why don't you have your disciples? Why don't you have your disciples wash your hands when they come out of the public where all those sinners are out there? Why don't you do that? Jesus told his disciples, don't do that stuff. And they were getting upset with him. And then Jesus is sort of talking to them, talking, saying something like, it's silly to do this. And he's basically making the Pharisees upset. He's bothering them. In fact, his disciples even tell him about this. Let me see, I can find this right here. He says, don't you know that you are demeaning your these Pharisees? Don't you know that they are upset by what you're saying? And Jesus says, don't worry about it, because sin comes from the heart. It's not what's on the outside that comes inside of you that defiles you. It's what's in your heart that comes out of you, out of your mouth that defiles you. Jesus himself is telling us, the problem we have is that we are sinful from the core, all the way down to our heart. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. It's not that you have unwashed hands. It's your heart. Problem is that we've turned in on ourselves. And then when we look for solutions to our difficulties with God, if we look inside, we're not going to find the answer there, because our heart is already contrary to God's will. God is telling us that we are still sinners and defiled, and it's not a comforting sermon to hear. We don't like this. In fact, today I think the amen for the gospel was a little quieter than it usually was. Usually we say, glory to God, or this day it was a little quieter, because I think it touched our hearts. We understand what Jesus is saying to us. We just don't want to admit it. So what are you going to do now after a sermon like this, at this point? What is the solution to the problem? Do you know? There is. It's repent. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Repent. Acknowledge. Admit that we are who we are. Sinners, but also acknowledge and admit who we are. We're forgiven sinners. That God has given to you and me something of greater good than any of our sins could ever do. And that's the very gift that God has given to us. And we hear about that gift in Romans. Because it's interesting, you have to go outside of this reading today to find the good news. And that's, in a sense, what I think our Lord is trying to tell us all the time. You can't find answers to your problems in here. You have to go outside. And so where do we go outside? We go outside and hear what Jesus has done for us through the words that Paul writes. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Adam is the type of the one who's going to come into this world, Jesus. Adam is the one who brings sin into this world through his rebelliousness. But the one who's coming, Jesus, is going to bring forgiveness and salvation through his acts. But here's what's good, the good news today. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Where do you get a gift from? You get a gift from someplace outside of you. You get a gift, in this case, from God himself. the gift of Jesus Christ and his suffering and death and his forgiveness for you and for me. He's the solution to all of this terribleness that lives inside of us, that we have to deal with day after day, who we are. We have a free gift. And if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. He's saying there that free gift that God has given to us, it's bounding, it's growing, it's getting bigger and bigger. That's the love that God has for you. No matter how much sin you have in your past, your present, or your future, there's more of that free gift that will cover it all. And that free gift is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The free gift is not the result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Justification, that big word that we sometimes forget, means you're made right before God. Your sins are washed away in the front of God before him. You are covered with a right white robe of perfection. It's not yours. It's the gift that God gives you in Jesus. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift, again, the free gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus. Therefore, as one's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, Jesus himself, leads to justification and life for men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. That's the free gift. That's the good news you hear today. Yes, we are sinners and we can't deny it. It's as terrible as it sounds and it's worse than we want to imagine. Jesus tells it that like it is. He lays out the truth for us. But it's for you to hear. His people. Never forget what Jesus has done for you. He has given you life. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you righteousness. He's given you everything that he has so that your sin is covered. It's buried. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been forgiven. You are his people. And this free gift is not going to be found in you. It's found in him, in his body and the blood, in his word, in this place where we come together to hear God's word regularly. Acknowledge that you are what God tells you who you are. Believe that Christ is the one who bled and died for you. And believe that you have the hope of eternal life, that you are forgiven, that you do have the words, the truth of the words of absolution are yours every time you hear it. Your sins are forgiven. This is all coming from the outside of you because there's nothing good inside of us. It's from the outside. It's from God, our Father, from his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit who brings it to us in his word and sacrament. The gift is Jesus himself. Be thankful for that. Live in that. And choose that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.